hopefully we can have a great discussion tonight regarding your needs with your business, especially many of you being, you know, freelance editors or self-published authors, and how you can reach your audience via social media the best way. So I have a few things that, you know, I can talk about. Off the top of your head, is there anything specifically that you'd like to cover tonight as far as new social media or ways to promote your business? So I'll give it a few seconds here for any type of questions, and maybe shoot some questions that you have out. And if not, I can talk, but I promise it would be a much better discussion if, you know, you had some questions.
So this is Susie, and I know one question I have is just how do you, I guess, separate the personal, so just my, say, Facebook page, personal Susie, versus professional, more of marketing my editing and writing services. How do you distinguish between those, or how you handle those?
I think that's a valid question. So the question was raised: how do you basically, use your social media without conflicting the two, the personal brand and your professional brand? I think it does depend on the company. Many times, your personal brand might be just as good as your professional brand, and you should leverage that. When I look at, so just to give you an example, there's some thought leaders in the industry here in content marketing that I really look forward to listening to. For example, Neil Patel, he focuses on, content, creating good content, creating conversions on his website, but he uses his own name. And so I don't think you have to differentiate the two. I think it just depends on, how big your audience is. I would usually try to stay, anytime you're in a professional setting or your personal setting and you're trying to promote your own material, I use kind of a scale of 5-to-1 posts. So I'll create, 5 content marketing posts about effective ways to share social media or to use a particular app. And then I might slide in, one of my particular posts about how you can, what we offer, what my service might be that you can take advantage of. I do have a site business myself that I've kind of started up. I haven't really been able to get much of it off the ground just because, I'm pretty busy, but with school and work. But the goal eventually is to make that, its own content marketing agency. And so that's what I try to use. I try to leverage the experts in the industry, promote their posts, and then I'll say, hey, here's what I offer for, a month's worth of marketing. So, long-winded answer, I apologize, but to sum it up, leverage your current base, but don't be afraid to start your own brand as well.
Great, thanks.
So, one thing I frequently get asked when I mention to people that I do, social media marketing, besides the obvious of, oh, you get to play on Facebook all day, which is a half-truth, right? How do I get started with social media? Sometimes people have not even set up their accounts. What medium is best for me? Do I focus on Facebook? There's so many, social media outlets out there. How do I know which one's right for me? And I think that depends on your business. And typically, it would depend on the age range as well of those you are targeting. So for those that are looking to probably the market of what I would call boomers or baby boomers from, 40 and up, I would probably stick to Facebook on those marketing practices. If it's more of a news, breaking news type company, you know, I would use Twitter. But if you're an up and coming and you're wanting to, you know, get attached to these this millennial audience, I think you're going to have to go more video and more picture type messaging, so Instagram and the Snapchat type social media outlet would be your best experience. So, but I think you have to find your audience. And what I try to do is basically split these people up into different types of what I call buyer personas. So let me give you an example. So there's an outdoor company that I work with. So we created a 25 to 40-year-old male that we wanted to target all our posts for. So you go through the different buyer types, which I classify in four categories. You have competitive buyers, spontaneous buyers, methodical buyers, and then humanistic buyers. So you have those. So, for example, a competitive buyer would be somebody that wants to have, you know, the newest thing on the market. They're more of a risk taker. Think of, you know, maybe the first people that own an iPhone or an Apple Watch. They want to be the first. They want to, you know, kind of puff their chest that, you know, their product's the best or they were the first to get it. So they're more logical, but they're also very fast. They want to be out in front. So let's say I'm working for this outdoor company. I want to focus on how I can attack those competitive people. How can I create a product that they're going to want to buy spontaneously? So my recommendation would be to break those out and to create products or campaigns around those specific type of buyers. For example, if it's a spontaneous person, which makes their connections typically emotional and fast, you want to create some type of impulse buy ad on your website or right next to, you know, your checkout. If you're a store, you want to have some type of flyer or a material that they're going to want to impulse buy there. So you want to target with the lowest price offer, things that are going to make those people also, you know, purchase quickly. You also have the methodical people who are logical and slow. I think I fall into this category where I want to analyze 10 different options and, you know, find out the best option. So what's the warranty? What's my security? You know, what's my money-back guarantee? What do my friends think about it? Who's bought it before me? And then there's humanistic, so emotional and a lot slower. So I've heard of an example. There's a male in the office. His wife wanted to buy a car. And they went through all these different places, and then she started doing research on companies, and she found out that one of the CEOs of one of these car companies was a female, and she bought it just because of that. So you got to find things that connect with people for those more humanistic people. So that's one quick way that I get started, is you have to identify your audience, and then you can start creating campaigns for these four specific people. So I think in social media, you can't stand still. You have to continually try things. Again, trying the, you know, 5-to-1 model, promote posts in your industry. If you're a book publisher, look for ways that you can, you know, interact with other publishers or other writers, and kind of build a community between yourselves. Maybe host some Twitter chats together about common pain points that customers have. So those would be my quick recommendations on how you can get started with social media. What type of I see some questions coming through. You made a great point here. One of the questions that came through was, whatever you do, don't do it properly and don't try too many. I think that's a great point with social media. Don't try to do every single platform out there in social media. Find out what your niche is, and what your audience is, and then, you know, do the best you can with that specific audience. Find ways that people are, the more you can integrate video and photos to your posts, the higher interaction and higher success rate you're going to have in converting customers. So that would be my recommendation. Any other questions that you have about kind of how you get started and how you pick the right platform for your audience?
I had a question. This is Kaylin. I was just wondering if you would recommend focusing on those, what was it, the four groups that you, the four types of buyers over, I mean, how does that relate to my market is male or female, this is the age range, stuff like that. Does that make sense?
Let me repeat the question because it was kind of stop you there for a second. Just want to make sure I understand you right. So you want to understand how these four different categories are different than kind of your age ranges?
Yeah, like which is more important, or are they interconnected?
Yeah, I would say they're interconnected because you're going to have these type of buyer personas in every single generation.
Okay, that makes sense.
So you're, for example, your millennials, you'll have millennials that will be, you know, the competitive type buyers. You'll have the spontaneous, methodical, and humanistic type buyers. Every one of us fall into one of these categories. Sometimes you combine them as well when you're purchasing. It depends on the product, but each age range, you're going to have these specific type of buyer personas that you'll need to be prepared with campaigns. So when you're running those promotions, try to keep it 5-to-1. And you might find out that you might be successful with a 3-to-1. That's just a number that I found has worked for me is 5 content posts of quality content, engaging content, and then 1 promotional post. And I found that that's been the way to go for me. So, does that answer your question?
Yes, thanks.
Okay, great. Any other questions? So another question I get frequently is, what ways can I increase maximum exposure with the least amount of spend? Typically, our ad spend in a small business, you want to hold on to every, you know, penny of revenue, right? And you want to maximize any type of paid advertising that you're doing. So one of the great things about social media is a lot of it is free. A lot of it is, you know, you promoting yourself and finding a way to reach your audience. So I would look for some different type of guerrilla marketing tactics. What that means is something that you know, I actually saw this on the highway the other day. I was driving over an overpass, and somebody had created somebody put a website in red Solo cups on a fence. You know, so they had marked whatever their website was .com, and I'm sure they got some type of traffic from that. People are interested in finding out what it is. Similar opportunities that, you know, that maybe cost, what, $5 to buy all those red Solo cups. You know, I'm not saying that's the best marketing tactic, but looking for opportunities like that where you can promote your brand at no cost, but it also reaches a high amount of people. Blab, the service that this is currently on, is a great opportunity for small businesses because a lot of times you're looking into software to hold video conferencing, and it's extremely expensive. So what I would do is I would look and just kind of see what other people are doing in the industry on Blab. I follow, one of my favorite people to follow is a lady that hosts a call each week. Her name is Chelsea Cross. And on Millennial Talk, it's a Twitter chat that I participate in. And she does a great job of both hosting the call and kind of see behind the scenes of how she hosts calls and interacts with her audience. So this is a lady who's in her, I think she's, early 30s, and she has built an audience through a talk show and through this Twitter chat, and now it's expanding to the lab where she's able to visually interact with her audience. So I think that's a great way for publishers and self-published authors and freelance editors to get their name out and kind of establish themselves as thought leaders. And then Periscope is another one where Periscope isn't as much of value, in my opinion, for a video conference. But it's more of a behind-the-scenes type opportunity. So shows like SportsCenter right now, for example, before they get on air, the 5 minutes in the commercial break before they get on air, they have their Periscope on, kind of showing the behind-the-scenes look of what's going on the TV set. So users can engage there, and then they turn it off when they go live. Some keep it on as well to give users another perspective. So as an author, maybe you Periscope how, you're brainstorming with new ideas for a new book or for a new audience. So those are just some quick ideas of how you can maximize exposure. Am I diving too deep? Is there questions about these different mediums of social media that maybe I can answer? I feel like, in the most common ones, I'm pretty well-versed. Any questions regarding how to maximize exposure with the least amount of spend?
I have a question. This is Susie. Lab
sure.
Before I had seen you post it. So have you, I guess, LDS PPA is hoping to get into more of webinars. So is Blab, is it good for leading webinars like that, or is that maybe not the best option?
Sorry, is it good for what did you say?
For webinars. So, can you post like a slide deck on Blab, that kind of thing, or is it more of a video conferencing?
It's more video conferencing. I think
okay.
We're kind of getting away in our video conferencing from slide decks. I think
uh-huh.
slide decks would be a great option to include. So what I would do, again, another branch of social media, I would use SlideShare, which is an app that is now integrated with LinkedIn. And I would use that for your slides. And then to host a video conference, I would use Blab. So Blab allows, for example, we have people on the webinar right now who are asking questions, making comments in the chat section, and they can also ask questions directly to me without the group seeing them. So
right. So
that's a benefit for the host. And the user as well, as they don't have their posts don't have to be seen by everybody. It also allows you to export it to an MP4 or a YouTube to YouTube pretty easy. It can also be just a plain audio clip if you use SoundCloud for your marketing. So it integrates well with a lot of different things, including Twitter. So I've used expensive software in some corporations that I've worked for, and honestly, this does the exact same thing, gets the exact same point across, and I actually think it's tied in better with social than the other ones are. So my advice would be don't waste money on expensive webinar software and use Lab.
Great.
Especially
thank
if you're
you.
Looking to increase your audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks.
So one of the things that I particularly specialize in is content strategy, developing a content marketing strategy for different companies. I've worked for telecom companies and health and wellness companies. And the struggle seems to be, where do we get started? How do we find out, you know, what we want to be our content strategy going forward? So the biggest thing that I think gets missed in the process is we want to start creating content from the beginning, kind of take advantage of newsjacking opportunities or look at specific holidays and create content around that. I don't think, while that's great, I don't think that's the first step that needs to be done. So what I typically do, I first do an audit of what we're currently doing, and ask questions, see what kind of changes we can make. And then I use the Google AdWords keyword tool. And if many of you have not used this, you can go to AdWords.google.com, and you can basically look at the search results on Google and see what is trending around a specific topic. For example, let's say I wanted to do something around, home internet, for example. If I type that in, that's going to give me, 40 to 50 new words or new topics that you can look at as far as keyword targeting in your content you're producing. So a lot of research needs to go into content marketing. I wouldn't try to wing it, otherwise it's not going to be as productive and you're going to burn yourself out. So there's definitely a smart way to do content marketing. I would use content marketing trend software, which is another site to look at is buzzsumo.com. It allows you to see how much an item has been shared on Facebook, Twitter, and I believe LinkedIn are the three that it focuses on. And you can see how many links they're getting to a particular post, and you can see how many shares have happened for a specific topic. So, for example, I'm putting together some predictions for 2016, and I went and saw all the social media posts, top social media shares regarding digital content for the past year, and was able to make some predictions off of what I see and what's trending in the data. So definitely use data to develop your content marketing on social media. How are you guys currently developing your content strategies? What seems to work for you, or what things do you have questions on?
This is Susie. I know for me, it's a lot of it is a matter of time and just feeling like, there's so many fires to be put out all the time, and so that takes up the time that I would use to do other kinds of marketing, using social media, that kind of thing.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's a valid concern. You're trying to keep up with the day-to-day, let alone, produce a ton of content. I think as a small business, starting out with maybe 3 to 4 articles a month is not a bad thing. I've seen there's a really good study, if you have a chance to check it out, on HubSpot.com, where they do a analysis of basically, is it more valuable to have multiple pieces of content per week with lower quality.
The host has joined the conference.
Or is it better to have, high quality content and maybe post once or twice a week? And really, there's it was a 6-month study. They examined about 1,000 keywords, and really there was no change, no drastic change that they noticed. You know, there are some peaks and valleys that they notice in how they can promote, you know, posts and what they learned a lot from the study. But as far as the value of receiving traffic for posting more or posting less, really had no significant. There was really no level of significance with that study. So what I would recommend is find your niche. Right. We kind of talked about this earlier, but find your audience, find the social media platform that works for you, and then start creating some quality content pieces. I know I was looking to get into being an author, which, you know, hopefully is something that I want to do, you know, down the road. I would want to know, how do I get in contact with publishers? You know, and that might be something that you have a ton of experience about, and that, you know, you can create a content piece around that. Well, that's going to help drive traffic to your website. That's going to help you promote that on social media using specific, you know, publishing hashtags that are common to the industry. So my recommendation would be to put quality content out first, and then you can focus on quantity. So I did want to cover some trends that might be happening, but were there any other questions that you had? It sounded like somebody was asking a question. Sorry.
I was going to, as a follow-up, I guess just as some things you do you think it's okay just to use, so I don't use Twitter. Do you really think that's a problem, or do you think that, you know, Twitter, you need to get on Twitter to really do a good job marketing, or you think it's more of, I guess what you were saying before, that, but, you know, are there any on Twitter?
Yeah, I think I understand your question. So you want to know, basically, should you, if you're not on Twitter, should you be on Twitter? Are you missing out on a lot of things as far as your business, right? I would think it would go back to where's your audience at and what are you trying to do with Twitter? So my question to you would be, you know, what would be the purpose of you getting on Twitter? Are you wanting to create a community that you can, you know, build around? For example, Susie, you're an editor, right? So maybe you want to collaborate with a bunch of other editors that you've known or have networked with. I think that might be best on LinkedIn and the community page. I don't think Twitter is going to be your best resource. I think you're going to be kind of, you know, spin out hot air, really. So you have to have an audience. And so if you're not going to have an audience on Twitter, I don't think it's the most valuable social media. I would stick to, in your case, I would probably stick to Facebook, and I would probably use LinkedIn more often as well.
Great, thanks.
So some trends that I see in social media, and I'm planning on releasing a post pretty quickly on LinkedIn about this, but I see, four big things happening this year in 2016 as far as social media. So the first one being the rise of the videographer. I see video and pictures being the bread and butter of social media for the next while, and you know, Facebook's kind of integrating with that. Twitter's, you can see Twitter's moving that way with the addition of Periscope and Blab. Everybody sees that video is the future. So I would expect to see more videographers being brought onto content marketing staff. A lot of There's a stat out there that I read today that 1 in 4 consumers lose interest in a company if it does not have video marketing. So if it doesn't have video describing what the product does or how they can interact with it, you're going to lose, 25% of your customers, 25% of your potential customers. So there were there's a prediction by Gartner, I believe, that there will be a $13 billion spend on video marketing by the year 2018. So creating small videos, which can be, basic testimonials yourself. Excuse me, I'm getting kind of a dry throat here. Would be, one focus that I would have is how can you incorporate videos and pictures into your social media. I would also focus your content marketing towards more engagement type opportunities, which could be quizzes, infographics, and other types of shareable content. So infographics, there's a lot of templates out there from a lot of different publishing companies where you can create simple infographics in PowerPoint, actually. You don't even need like an Adobe program. You could outsource that as well to some graphic designers if you know. But the most shared posts in 2015 were quizzes and infographics.
Do you have any suggestions on what specific programs or, I guess, sites that you mentioned to do infographics?
Yeah, most of your content marketing sites like HubSpot.com would be a great one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They'll request for your email address and that, but it's worth having the templates to be able to build those. So HubSpot.com is one of those. Trying to think of Kiss Metrics, I believe, offers one. Basically, if you search content marketing or infographic templates, you'll find some contents on those on the first page of the search results that you'll
Great.
Be able to use. And then as far as quizzes, I've been using, there's a company down in Lehigh called Quizzer. And I've been able to use their software. They have a free version that you can use and create quizzes. It's extremely simple. I create a quiz for, which NFL team are you? And it had about 600 completions in about a month. And that was at the start of the NFL season. So look for different ways that you can kind of what I call newsjacking. Right, taking advantage of things that are going to happen or are already happening. Probably a little too late for like a Christmas type or a holiday type quiz, but maybe start off with your resolutions or what do you know about Martin Luther King Day or what do you know about President's Day or what do you know about What should you get your significant other for Valentine's Day? Simple quizzes like that that can everybody wants to know. I don't know why these quizzes take the power that they do, but they're so engaging. People want to share that they most symbolize with Ross from Friends and see what their friends did. Right. So look for those type of opportunities and. Again, typically by a simple Google search, you can find the companies that are hosting those type of platforms. I think word of mouth will continue to trump advertisements as there will always be a need for ads, but these gamification type websites that are producing apps will be a huge value to companies because the word of mouth of those will just trump ad spend, and it will bring a higher yield of return on investment. So, for example, most of you, I would imagine, have a Subway card. If you're going to, you know, select a sandwich or you're hungry for lunch, you're typically going to go to Subway, one, because you know what you're getting, and two, because you know you're going to rack up points that will eventually give you a free sub, right? And I think a lot of companies are gearing towards that, trying to find some type of rewards program. Also, you know, user reviews are huge. If you look at companies like Uber or Lyft or Airbnb or Couchsurfing, they're all based on subscribers who rate the owners and their owners rate the subscribers. And I actually drive for Lyft, and I've used both Uber and Airbnb. Great services, and these companies are not having to use any type of inventory or, none of these companies have actual capital. So I would look to see what you can do to gamify your customers, creating some type of reward system for them. Ratings are everything. Be responsive to, reviews on your website or your Facebook page or your book. Address them and acknowledge even the negative ones and try to build off of those. So it's definitely if you're not showing up with your company on a search engine results page, so the first page, which many call this in marketing the SERPs. If you're not showing up there, I would definitely look to outsourcing that. It's pretty cheap to get your local search for your company on Google's website just by searching your name. So you don't want to miss out on those opportunities. So if you're currently in marketing and you're looking for ways to build your customer base, try to find those companies who do not have ratings and work on reaching out to them. So those are kind of four main predictions that I see that will happen in the year 2016 as far as social media. What questions do you guys have? I think this is that's all I had to cover, but I want to see what other questions or concerns we can answer for you.
I have a question. I'm an author, and I have books out, and a publisher wants me to get better at doing the social media, which I've never been comfortable with. And I was thinking, when you said the small videos and the testimonials, would it be – I visit schools and kids and things like that. Would it be good to do just shorts from my visits with them and have things like that posted onto my social media? I'm trying to relate how to integrate what you're saying based on, trying to sell my books and sell myself, basically.
Absolutely. Testimonials are huge as far as building base with some of these buyer personas. For example, these methodical type buyers, they're going to want to know what their friends said about your book before they buy it, right? So if you're going to schools and you can get their consent, I would, do all the legal things you have to do that. But it's worth it. We call it user-generated content. So basically, people are creating content for you. And those are ideal posts for social media. So again, I would try to stay and focus on, not promoting yourself too much, but that is definitely something I would take advantage of.
And just doing that kind of in the 5-to-1 thing, just adding those in occasionally, right?
Yep, I would. And say, hey, here's what, Johnny said about his experience in Chapter 2. Or, he liked this specific aspect of the book. Do you have 30 seconds? Or, here's a quick 30-second clip on, you know, what Joe liked about my book.
Okay.
So,
cool.
Yeah, I would definitely. Those are the best types. So when I first started my business, my biggest struggle was getting testimonials because I've never had any service. So I actually used my LinkedIn recommendations, and I reached out to those people and said, hey, I don't have any testimonials for my products. Can you guys be kind of my testimonials on my webpage? And that actually helped me, you know, land some clients that way.
Thank you.
Can I also throw in something about an author? This is Jennifer.
Sure.
Just things that that have worked for me, because I am a self-published author. I do have a publisher, but I also self-publish as well. But I think that also getting out to bloggers, because a lot of them are on social media, they can really help put your name out there as well. So it's not really, you don't have to sell yourself per se, because that it is uncomfortable, I think, at first. But I also find, too, as an author, though, that I don't have to sell myself per se, but when you do have fans, though, they do really seem to appreciate when you let them know what's coming, or you give them little sneak peeks. So it's not like you're, you know, hey, look at this great 5-star review I got kind of a thing. It's just kind of letting them into your world. I found that that's been really successful for me, and those I actually get a lot of engagement type back and forth with my fans with stuff like that. So it's not just to me, that's a little bit more comfortable of, you know, instead of saying, it doesn't feel so much like, look at me, it's because they want to know about those type of things.
Right, the more transparent you are, the better on social media, just because everything's out there and everybody wants to find out everything, you know. Anything that you can be transparent about, I think, like what you're saying, is exactly what your users want to hear. For example, if you're an outdoor company and you're creating, you know, sweaters, people want to know, you know, you might have some customers that are going to be super passionate about knowing that was created in the United States, right? And so you maybe give them insight, either have a Periscope or some type of videos into your warehouse where you're producing that. And it creates a huge amount of engagement. People say, oh, I love this company because they're producing products in the United States. So, yeah, great point. Appreciate your comment. All right, is there anything else? Any other questions out there? Well, that's all I have, Susie. Thank you for inviting me today, and thank you for being here.
Well, Ryan, thank you so much. I think this was a great call, lots of great information that I know I have a lot of ideas how to apply it to me personally and also LDS PPA, and I'm guessing everybody else does as well. So thank you so much again for leading our discussion, and thanks everybody who joined us today. And we will have the recording up so people can re-listen to it. And so everybody, thank you. Have a wonderful Christmas, and we'll have another call in January.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Conference muted.